قائما على رأس الغلام وهو يفحص برجليه، بل حسين عليه السلام يقول: بعدا لقوم قتلوك.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show. Our condolences to the believers wherever you are all across the world upon the months of Muharram and Safar, the months in which we commemorate the martyrdom and the mission of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. In order to talk just a little bit about some of the different aspects of the mission and the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, we decided to invite Sayyid Muhammad Hashimi from the Islamic Republic of Iran. Let's go ahead and invite him and begin our talk show. Sayyid Hashimi, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me on this show. And I say salam to all the viewers all around the world.
So Sayyid, thank you so much again taking time out, coming and discussing this martyrdom and mission of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Of course, a discussion which has lived and grown over centuries, you know. To me really is something amazing that it is a phenomenon, or it is an idea, or it is a movement or a concept that is very much living and growing and strengthening on a daily basis. You know, and so we wanted to talk a little bit about the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. I know there were some things we had left out on the last discussion, and so we wanted to continue kind of in this direction of the importance and, you know, the different things that are involved in the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, especially since over 1,000 years have passed. So that's a long time that, yeah, that has occurred. If you'd like to start, in the name of Allah.
Yes, thank you very much. First of all, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all the efforts of our brothers and sisters during the month of Muharram. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us this tawfiq to, inshallah, together go to the ziyarah of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, inshallah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as we said in the previous session, Karbala and the incident of Ashura must be alive even for today's life. One of our major problems in Islamic community for more than 2 or 3 centuries is a historical decline of the Islamic community. Mm-hmm. You know, once we were the pioneers in everything.
Yes.
In the civilization and everything else. But after centuries and after modernism and after things like that, you know, the whole idea of having an Islamic civilization collapsed immediately. One of the reasons behind that, it has political reasons, you know, geopolitical reasons and things like that. But one of that is the theological and philosophical reason behind that. According to Shahid Mutahhari, he tries so hard to give us this explanation. Mm-hmm. According to him, he says that during, you know, the time, Muslims started to distort the pure beliefs that they had. Mm-hmm. And the consequence of that was this collapse and decline, right, in their societies. He says that, you know, for example, he says, we had a concept in Islam called qaza wa qadar, fate and destiny. Mm-hmm. Jabru ikhtiyar, free will, and determinism. He says that after years of the passing of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the authorities and officials, especially first in Bani Umayyah and then in Bani Abbas, they started to develop this idea or support this kind of idea that everything is destined before, mm-hmm, everything is determined. So why is it good for the Bani Umayyah and Bani Abbas to say that?
Right, you know, there must be a reason why, yes, they're must be a reason promoting this thinking.
Promoting this,
yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
You know, if you live under Muawiyah, in the time of Muawiyah, or under Yazid, and you see Yazid is a drunk person who commits adultery in the name of Rasulullah. And in the same time, he claims to be successor of Rasulullah. Praises Christianity sometimes over Islam.
Right.
And things like that. But in that time, you have this deep belief in your mind that everything that you have in this life was predestined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mm-hmm. This is qada.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And this is the will of God.
Mm-hmm. There's no change in it. There's nothing we can do about it.
If you start to oppose this, you're actually opposing what?
The will of
Allah. The will of God. Mm-hmm. The will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is what? It is kufr.
Right.
It is blasphemy.
Right.
Okay?
Right. And this is what was being promoted by the Umayyad, the governmental establishment.
They did this. They supported those people who were the theorists of these theories. Okay? Shahid Mutari says that look at this society, which this kind of mindset. This society is doomed to die, to collapse. Because this society is not ready to do anything.
Yes.
Because it says, okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will modify and reform everything if it is necessary. And if it's not necessary, this is the situation. Okay, believe
it. It's a very, very poisonous, very dangerous, very... Because not only do you not do anything, but then you start to think that not doing anything is what you're supposed to be doing on behalf of Allah.
Mashallah.
It's a very scary and very almost like you'll get lost in the, you know, what do you do? Like, should you live? Should you die?
This was the argument of many of those khulafa. And this was how they supported the legitimacy.
Right.
Despite the fact people saw that they're not eligible for this.
Right.
They have nothing.
Right.
They're not real. They're not even... You know, the level of their religiosity is not even the level of ordinary religiosity of the ordinary people.
And and here we're talking about these are the distortions that had come into Islam, the tahrif in Islam.
It wasn't in Islam,
And it is this tahrif that we're seeing is creating this destruction of the Islamic civilization. Yes. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, we have qada and qadar in Islam. We have this talk about free will and determinism, but not like this.
Right, of
this
course.
This was a distortion. Here, Shahid Mutahari starts a new chapter very beautifully. He says that even in our time, in these recent centuries, this idea was one of the most important reasons behind the collapse and defeat of the Muslim community.
Civilization,
Muslim Ummah. And he says that this is not just this concept. Look at the concept of taqwa, he says, concept of iman. And even Shi'i concepts, like concept of shafa'a, intidar al-faraj, and the ashura. He says, this distortion came even into the Shi'i school of thought.
Right.
Like the conception that some people have about the shafa'a, that you're free to do anything, and because you have the love of Amir al-Mu'minin Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, okay, you're free to go, and you will be definitely in the heaven without any accountability.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So what happens if we have such a society? People easily invade each other. People easily violate each other's rights. People easily, you know, ignore all the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this society is doomed to fail in every aspect. Okay? So, shafa'ah...
Especially when they don't get the shafa'ah of Amir al-Mu'mineen.
Amir al-Mu'mineen, mashallah.
Because they did all this.
Shafa'ah is one of the brightest and greatest concepts in Islam.
Yes.
And we believe in that. It is in Quran. In Quran. It's not just in narrations.
Right.
In Quran, we have in Ayatul Kursi about shafa'ah. That is one of the... That those verses testify about the shafa'ah, but... If you distort the shafa'ah or the love of Ahlul Bayt, the outcome will be the collapse of the individuals and the society.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Like Intidar al-Faraj, we had a talk with you, Sayyid, about the Intidar al-Faraj and the passive expectation awaiting Imam and the active. And this was the same argument.
Right.
Another incident and concept, which is so important, is Ashura. And you know, this is the trap of Shaitan. you know, Shaitan is so intelligent and smart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why? Because he doesn't usually use bad things for his purposes.
Of course.
He uses good things, even the concept of Allah having God.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
You know, hoping in the mercy of God, maybe, maybe by satanic narration,
yes,
maybe one of the means of the misguidance of the people.
Of course, yeah.
Okay. So, Shaitan uses these terms, these holy terms, to misguide people.
Right.
One of them is Ashura. Shaykh Mutahhari says that in regards with the incident of Ashura, we have two major distortions,
mm-hmm,
which tears apart the whole teachings of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein for today's life. The first one is the resemblance that some people, mm-hmm, tried to make between the Catholic narration of Jesus Christ and Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. And
right,
what is that? You know, in the Christianity, today's Christianity, we don't believe that Jesus Christ himself believed in this. They believe that we had an original sin.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened and committed by Adam and Hawa,
yeah,
in the gardens of garden.
Yeah. Technically, they blame Hawa
before first. Yes.
And then she confused Adam, and it's another discussion, and be interesting
about the women in Islam.
Is women in Islam and women in Christianity? Where in the Christian faith, I know it's a tangent, but we throw it out there.
Yeah.
How the one who committed the original sin, which got everybody in trouble, was a woman. This is in the Christianity concept, and I challenge people
and
to go and check this out.
Is the manifestation of deception.
So you were talking about the original sin, which occurred at that time.
The original sin that was committed by Adam and Hawa, they say, it had an effect. The sign of that sin is always with us.
Right.
All the human race carries the burden of the original sin.
In their fitrah, for example.
In their fitrah.
Yeah, and they can't get rid of it.
They come to this life
with that sin.
That original sin. But what happened? Jesus Christ, who is, as they say, the manifestation of God on this planet Earth, or in this world, you know, they believe that Jesus was very badly tortured before he was crucified. Okay, this pain of Jesus Christ,
and suffering,
torture and suffering of Jesus Christ, and then being a martyr in that time. This was the price of the original sin.
Mm-hmm. And this was the redemption.
Yes, this was the redemption. Mm-hmm. And this washes away that original sin and all the sins of the human race. So he was there to carry the burden of the sins of the mankind, so mankind can be cleaned from all those sins.
Yeah.
So, what is the relationship between Imam Hussein and that?
Right.
Some people try to give this conception, or gradually this conception, you know, emerged in the minds of Shia people, some of Shia people, that if we hold on to Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, that is enough for us, okay, to be free of all our sins. It doesn't matter if you commit sin. It doesn't matter if you are not concerned about your society or anything else. Just hold on to Abi Abdullah al-Hussein.
Yes.
Okay? And that would be the cleanse of all of your
sins
and everything, sins are gone. So what is the problem with this? We know that this is not, the story is not like this. You have to do something to be benefited from the Shafa'a of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay? He was building something. He was not a passive person. He acted. And you expect to be benefited from Abi Abdullah al-Hussein by being a passive person?
Right.
That is strange.
Right.
Okay? Shaykh Mutahhari says that if this concept comes in the mind of Shia and they accept it, what happens? It blocks the path of any reform in the society.
Right, right.
And in the individuals.
Of course.
Okay. It disconnects us from the movement of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. Look how beautiful thing you can find in the Abi Abdullah al-Hussein's movement. But you're just sticking to a distorted concept.
And a very selfish concept, right? So, selfish. You know, selfish in the sense where, so Imam Hussein, alayhi salam, peace and blessings upon him, he gave Ali Akbar on the path of Allah, he gave Ali Asghar on the path of Allah, he gave Qasim on the path of Allah, he gave Abbas, Hur ibn Yazid al-Riyahi, Habib ibn Mazahir, Aun, Muslim ibn Osaja, Aun and Muhammad, you know, the list on and on, and then the women and children and captivation and dungeon, and for what? So that my sins are forgiven. Yeah. You see, to me, it's almost shocking. Is who am I, talking about myself, who am I that in return for the forgiveness of my sins, someone like Hussein needs to make this kind of sacrifice? Yeah. Personally, I would say, you know, I'd rather Imam Hussein live and not go through all these things, and my sins are not forgiven.
Not forgiven, yeah.
It's a very amazing, you know, to me. But go ahead, continue.
Unless this movement gives me this motivation of act.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
If it gives me this motivation of act, because these people are making the future of this divine plan, okay?
Right.
If it was that, yes. Abi Abdullah says, yeah, it's worth it.
It's worth it.
I do everything. So you can understand Islam. You can act according to Islam.
Yes.
Not just your sins are forgiven, you know? I'm doing so I become a lantern of guidance for you, and you can follow my path.
And become the insanic amil. Become the complete and the perfect human being.
MashaAllah. And you can shape the final civilization of Imam al-Mahdi. Yes, Abi Abdullah says, it's worth it.
Right.
This is, so what is that? This is the essence of Islam. He says, I sacrifice myself for Islam. And who is going to, you know,
manifest
this?
People are.
And we know the strongest path, you know, because maybe when we bring up this discussion, some people have questions in their minds. The greatest means of forgiveness of sins is Hussein. Mm-hmm. Okay? Hussein ibn Ali, salamullah alayhi. But it doesn't mean that you can do everything against the cause of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. And easily be hopeful for his shafa'ah. I don't know, maybe he does this shafa'ah. Hussein is greater than everything you think, okay? But his purpose was not that. His purpose for Shia was to do something. To do something. To introduce Abi Abdullah al-Hussein to the entire world. It requires work, it requires sacrifice, it requires taqwa, it requires knowledge and ilm, it requires blood.
Right.
To be a follower of Abi Abdullah.
It's interesting. I don't know why. I think when you're in the month of Muharram and Safar, a lot of these connections are made with Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And it's a different spiritual environment. It's almost like the month of the holy month of Ramadan, which is a spiritual environment. And Muharram and Safar is also, even though it has a little bit of grief and sadness and tragedy in it, naturally you feel it, but there's it's a spiritual environment. So here, you know, when you were talking about this idea that, you know, we think we can do anything, but if we cry over Imam Hussein, then everything will be forgiven, everything will be looked over, you know. We're not looking at it a positive husnus zan type thing where I ask for forgiveness from Allah, I try not to commit sins, I try to be a good person, I try to join the side of truth, I try to be a part of the movement of Imam Hussein, and then, you know, I will ask Imam Hussein to forgive me. We're talking about another extreme which says I can do whatever I want. I don't need to pray. I don't need to fast. Yeah. I don't, because Hussein is the greatest, you know, Shafi, for example.
Yes.
You know, but, and so it's, what came to my mind was, you know, and I'm sorry, it's a little bit graphic, but so the guy who was trying to take the ring from the hand of Imam Hussein after he was martyred, and I'm sorry because it's graphic, you know, so he was crying while he was trying to take the ring from Imam Hussein. I mean, to me, it's, some of these things are unbelievable.
Even Umar ibn Sa'd was the commander of that army. The last moments of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, Lady Zainab, salamullah alayh, and it's an authentic quote, saying of Lady Zainab, he looked towards the Umar ibn Sa'd and told him that, أَيُقْتَلُ أَبُو عَبْدِ اللَّهِ وَأَنْتَ تَنْظُرُ? Is it real? that they're killing Hussein ibn Ali, Abu and Abdullah,
you
and you're looking.
Mm.
And it is said in Maqtal that Umar ibn Sa'd was crying and shed tears on his face.
Yeah.
This is Umar ibn Sa'd. Yes.
Yeah. So there has to be a difference between you know what we're thinking, and we have to be careful from these distortions, yeah. You know. And sometimes I think these kind of distortions, perhaps, and maybe it's a combination within the Muslims is happening, but sometimes I almost think that the enemies of Islam have a hand in this. Is limit Hussein to an individual where you should mourn over.
Yeah.
And expect everything to be forgiven. When you haven't done anything,
You
know, to follow Imam Hussein, you haven't, you know, if you want to comment on that.
Every teaching that tells Muslims and even other followers of other religions not to do anything, it's popular for the enemies.
Yes, popular.
You know,
in
India, that was that idea of the resurrection,
right.
Okay? And the situation that you're living in now is the outcome of the previous life.
Right, right.
It's another face, face of that qada and qada that we have in Islam, distorted qada and qada that we have in Islam.
Right.
So you have to be happy and okay with the situation that you're living in.
Right, right.
And that was popular for those people who were colonizing.
Yeah.
India.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's interesting. I know it's not a theological discussion, you know, but this whole idea of resurrection and reincarnation, you know, and these different circles. And so I was talking to one of our teachers and I said, if you don't know what state you were in the previous life, how do you know if you're improving or getting worse?
Yeah.
You know, I said that just breaks the whole concept. I don't know. So, for example, I was a king in the previous life.
Yeah.
Now I'm a pauper. I don't know if I was a king.
Yeah.
So, is there improvement? Are you going towards hell? Are you going towards heaven? So, anyways, I wanted to throw that out.
That is, you know, sometimes enemies, they don't make things. They support things. The burden of making in our shoulders many times, you know. They just support it. The second distortion that Shaykh Mutahid is talking about.
Sayyid, I think we should leave the second distortion for the next talk show. I know because I know we've probably run over time as well again.
Okay.
But this idea of if you want to do like a in Farsi we say jambandi, but like a summary type here, because this is a very serious distortion. It's very serious tahrif, and it's something that. Is quite popular that the Christians have this figure of Jesus Christ as the redeemer of all of humanity's sins. All you have to do is believe in him. You don't have to do anything. Just believe in him, right? And this idea that has been transformed now or is seeping into the Shia Ummah and the Muslim Ummah that Imam Hussein is also the redeemer of all of your sins. You only have to believe in him. And you have to mourn over him.
Yeah.
Christians didn't add this thing.
Yeah.
We added, you have to believe in him, you have to mourn over him, and you do nothing. Mm-hmm. If you'd like to jump on the summarize, inshallah. Yes.
So we said that one of the major problems of Muslimin, of the Muslim Ummah, was that their concepts were violated, distorted.
Right.
Within the Sunni community and Shia community, both of them. Within the Shia community, we had some concepts, brilliant, bright concepts.
Mm-hmm.
They are true concepts, like Shafa'ah, like Intidhar al-Faraj, like the incident of Ashura, that were distorted then by people, by cultures, by the, you know, the course of time, anything. One of them is the incident of Ashura. And according to Shaykh Mutahari, we said that the first distortion is that we make some resemblance between Abi Abdullah al-Husayn and Jesus Christ upon him, and the Jesus Christ with the today's narration of the Christianity,
not
the true narration of the Christianity. And that is a passive narration,
right?
Which just, as you beautifully said, that just tells you to believe in Abi Abdullah al-Husayn and mourn over him and do nothing. And doing nothing, it has a, you know, major consequence
mm-hmm.
in our life, in our families, in our society, if we just stick to that, you know, part of history, and in the same time, you believe that you don't need to do anything.
Right.
Because the rest of the things are going to be, you know, are going to be ruled, you know, or just by the ordinary means of life, right, not by the teachings of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. That is a problem. And by understanding that and reforming this concept and going back to the original concept of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein that tells us that هَلْ مِنْ نَاصِرٍ يَنْصُرْنِي, he's ready to help me. وَهَلْ مِنْ مُعِينٍ يُعِينُنِي وَهَلْ مِنْ ذَابٍ يَضُبْ عَنْ حَرَمِ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. These are all the calls of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein upon the history of mankind.
Yes.
Who is ready? So, when you said yes, what is next?
Do something.
You have to do something. Yeah.
You have to do something.
This doing something, acting, is important in the incident of Ashura. Mm-hmm. And we have to stay away from that distortion.
Jazakallah khair. Thank you, Sayyid Hashmi, for coming to the talk show. May Allah bless you. Talking about these topics which are very relevant and need to be talked about in today's day and age. And dear viewers, thank you so much for joining another episode of the Islamic Pulse talk show. Again, talking about the distortions that are being put into the concept and the idea and the memory of Ashura. Be careful and protect and preserve the true Ashura and the true movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam wherever you are. From us, that is all for now. Until another talk show, fi amanillah and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.